Thank you for that song. The music has been good today, and I appreciate the good music here at this place. I appreciate Ambassador and the privilege of being able to be here to preach the Word of God. I love Brother Beal, and he's been a blessing to me, and I've enjoyed, as he mentioned, growing the friendship and being able to serve our good God together. And you have a great privilege being in this place, and don't take that for granted. Our God is good to us. And I want to show you that in God's Word this morning. If you'll take your Bibles and turn to the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah chapter number 2 is where I'd like to start. I like shooting guns. How many of you like shooting guns? I'd like to see that. Oh, good, I like that. I like shooting guns. I know I have seen, I don't know if the Facebook page is still this way, but I like Brother Beal's Facebook page, the picture on the back. That's one of the things that drew me to him, and I knew that we were close that way. And the other day, I was actually in a gun range and shooting, and it was qualifying for something. And you have to be very precise. You have to be careful with the way that you shoot and make sure that you can blow out the center of that target. And so, you know, there's some sniper-type shooting that you need to do. I also like skeet shooting, and you have a shotgun, and you can go out there and you throw a... How many have ever gone out skeet shooting before? I like that, too. We've got some property we get to go out and go skeet shooting at. And that I'm a little better at because it's just kind of a big, broad, you know, pebbles going everywhere or pellets going everywhere, and you can hopefully at least hit it with one. And I find that that's more the way I preach. Now, that may not be how your teachers tell you and train you how to preach, but I preach a little more that way. I'm going to shoot a little more shotgun style, and hopefully one of the pellets is going to hit one of you, and we'll get something out of it. Life will throw you twists and turns, won't they? Now, you know why preachers get up here and tell stories for a while, especially ones that are here for the first time? So we can get our nerves calmed down and be able to get ready to preach. It's not for you. You don't need to hear all this. It's more for me. But the other day, praise God, we were having baptism. And there was a young boy. Matt, good to see you. I meant to mention that. And good to see you again. Matt's been over at my mama's. I'll chase rabbits too. My mom, Matt's been over at my mama's and eating over there. And I think my mom might be watching. So hi, Mom. But how many of you have eaten at my mom's house? I know some of you go there, you know, you go over there. Miss Shoemaker, yeah. Yeah, that's yeah. That's why I'm the size I am. And good eating, but Matt, good to see you. We had baptism the other day. And it was a little young boy, I don't know, 6, 7 years old. And he was a little nervous about the water. Now, he took baths, obviously, but he didn't like to be in the water. And honestly, I forgot to fill up the baptistry. And I got there early on Sunday morning, and I filled it up about 6 o'clock. And I turned the heater on, and we let it go all the way till the end of the morning service. And so I went back, you know, during the invitation and got ready, and he got ready. And I was explaining to him what's going to happen. And he came up there, and boy, the first foot hit that water, and it was cold. Oh, it was cold. And so I got down in there, and I warned him before time. I said, it's cold, but we're going to make it, okay? Let's just get it done. We'll get out. He got about to his knees, and he decided this wasn't for him. And, you know, in Bible college, they don't teach you what to do right then. You know, you've got a whole congregation out here, and he won't come in the water, you know. I thought about the old cathedral song, Step Into the Water, you know, and I'm trying to figure out how do I get him in here, and he wasn't coming. There's nothing doing. So I told everybody, well, let's go to lunch, and we'll come back tonight. We'll try it again. So we left the heater on. I talked to Mom and Dad and told them, you know, get them ready, kind of, you know, come in early. Let's do all this. Well, I kind of forgot about it. Left the heater on. Oh, boy, yeah. I got down there, and before the service I went up, I told our song leader, I said, now listen, we're going to sing one song, and we're going to do baptism at the beginning so he doesn't have time to chicken out. And we're going to go, and I'm going to go up there, I'm going to get ready. You sing one song, I'll be up in the baptistry, we'll dunk him, and we're going to, you know, go on. And then I'll go down, and I'll get ready and be up at the pulpit by the time for announcements. Sounded like a good plan. I got up there, and there's steam coming off of that water, you know. oh man, what do you do, you know? So I got down in there, and I'm starting to sweat, you know, and I'm getting ready, and he stepped in, and he said, I like this, and I said, good. So he came on down, and it got warmer as you came on down, and he kept saying, he's talking out loud, it's getting warmer, I like this. And so I was ready, I'm prepped, I got the handkerchief, I'm ready, you know, and while he's coming down the steps, I'm saying everything, you know, because of your profession of faith in Jesus Christ and, you know, and all this. And he's come. By the time he hit the bottom step, I went down, you know. And he came up. It was done. He went on up. So I ran down. I got all ready. I'm just pouring sweat. And I got dressed and I got up there. And these are new for me. And I didn't realize these things fog up. And I'm sweating. And man, you know, you need windshield wipers up here. And it's just a going, and Lord, what do I do? And, you know, I'm telling you all this to make me feel better. I feel better. Thank you for laughing. But I want you to know there's going to be things that God's going to throw at you. And you better enjoy it. I look back on that, and I think what a precious thing to be able to take, see this new soul come to Christ, and then to be able to see him get baptized. Aren't you glad all of us aren't the same? God made every one of us different. And you know, what a great story. Little Dylan's going to grow up and he's going to have that story. I went to the baptism twice, got dunked once, you know, and just got some great stories. And I love pastoring where I pastor. I have a little church down in Taylor, South Carolina. We're on Easy Street. Now, I'm sorry, y'all don't get a church. Literally, we are on Easy Street. 11 Easy Street is our address. And, you know you're right with God when you get to pastor a church. He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The church is there. Praise God. Nehemiah, God placed him where he is for a purpose. Now, you begin reading this and you understand that Nehemiah is in captivity. Nehemiah is not in a place necessarily that he wants to be physically. I've heard many messages on this, read a lot on this, and you'll find quite a few that'll say, now here he is, the king's cupbearer. This is some place of prominence in a way. You have to be trustworthy. Now I look at that and I think, I don't know that I want to be the king's cupbearer. Because what the king's cupbearer does is he tests all the food before the king eats it, and if it's poisoned, guess who dies? And there's quite a few enemies of the king. So I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, okay, now it may be a position that has prominence. You have to be trusted to be able to have this piece or this place. Isn't it an interesting thing that a captive had such a testimony before the king that a captive was placed in this position? And so Nehemiah is a man that's trustworthy, but Nehemiah is in a place that really he does not want to be. But God's going to use him mightily. Nehemiah is in captivity. He hears about, and you can go back and read this in chapter 1 from Hananiah. He hears of the condition of Jerusalem. The walls are tore down. The gates are burned. You find in verse number 3 that as he hears about this, in verse 4, he begins to weep and mourn over the condition of the city. He goes then before God, and I love this, he confesses his sin to God. He doesn't go to a coffee shop and talk about how bad it is. He doesn't go and start a Twitter thing or a Facebook page to talk about how awful the condition of the world has gotten to. He goes to his God and he says, God, if I'm going to be able to be used of you, I know I must be right with you. And so he confesses his sin before God. He confesses the sin of the nation. Then the next thing that he does, and you can read this in the rest of the chapter, of chapter 1, he goes before God and he claims the promises of God. He says, God, you have placed us in captivity because you told us that that's exactly what you'd do if we sinned against you, and we sinned against you. But Lord, you also said that if we would repent, and if we'd turn to you, and if we'd call on you, that you would restore us. And so he says, God, I'm coming before you and I'm asking you, would you do what you've promised you'd do? Chapter 2. Came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, that the wine was before him, and I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been aforetime sad in his presence. Wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid, and said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth in waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? And the king said unto me, for what dost thou make request? And I like this because Nehemiah does what I call a flare prayer. You ever been there? Well, you've got a decision to make. Something came or was thrown at you that you really didn't know how to handle. You didn't know how to answer. Nehemiah, I don't believe at this point in time, was expecting the king to say, well, what can I do to help? What do you want me to do, Nehemiah? He was expecting, in fact, he was afraid because his demeanor was fearful before the king. The king had noticed this, and that was something that you did not do. When you came before the king, you came in a happy and upbeat spirit. And so he's fearful for his life, and all of a sudden the king's looking at him, and he says, what can I do to help? Nehemiah, according to the Bible, he puts a flare prayer up. So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said unto the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, and that I may build it. The king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him, for how long shall thy journey be, and when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me. And I set him a time. Moreover, I said unto the king, if it please the king, let letters be given to me for the governors beyond the river, that they may convey me over till I come into Judah. And a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, and that he may give me timber and make beams of the gate for the gates of the palace which appertain to the house, and for the walls of the wall of the city. And for the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me, this is the title, according to the good hand of my God upon me. Father, would you give my lips utterance and a liberty to be able to preach the word of God the way you want it preached. Father, we've come together, as is often done every week, to this place to gather around thy word. May we not take this time for granted. God, we're asking you to do a work that only you can do this morning. We'll be sure to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I like to consider myself a young pastor still. And don't smile when I say that. I am a young pastor. And I like looking out. I've been pastor for 8 years. And I'm learning an awful lot. In the past year, God has taught me so much. And I come across a passage like this, and if you're anything like me, it doesn't matter what position you're in, I read this where Nehemiah says, according to the good hand of my God upon me. And I say, I want that. I want that to be my testimony. I want to be able to say with confidence that I have the good hand of God upon me. I look at ministries that God is using in a powerful way, like Ambassador Baptist College. I look at Dr. Beal over here and I see God using him. He's been at our church a couple times and preached revival for us and has blessed my heart, has been a great blessing to our church. And I listen to him preach and I say, I want that ministry. I want that blessing in my life. You're here in college preparing for what God will have for you in the future. And many times, and this isn't a bad thing, many times you'll see God working in ministries around, and you'll see churches that are being established. You'll see homes that are being established. You'll see God planting missionaries across the world, and you'll say, I want that in my life. That's a good thing. It's a good thing to desire to see God use you in a powerful way. But there's something we need to understand. There's a process that God goes by to place us in ministry. And many times, if we're not careful, we will miss that God's good hand is already upon us. I was preparing for this message, and the honest truth is, last night, I didn't know for sure what I was supposed to preach. I had about 10 of them that I was going between. And you'll think, when you get opportunity to preach at somewhere like this, you'll think, boy, I'll be ready to go as soon as I get, Lord, why don't you have Brother Beal call me? I'm ready to preach. And then finally, he calls and says, hey, why don't you come preach? All right. So you think, boy, that's right, I'm ready. And then it comes to the night before. Lord, I thought I was ready. I've got 10 of these and none of them seem right. Lord, what do you want? I got down to this one, which is what I started out with. And I said, Lord, how do I present this? How do we get God's good hand upon us? And I was praying and I said, Lord, I just don't know even how to present this. I want your good hand. I want the students. I want the faculty. I want people that hear this message to be able to get God's good hand upon them. And God said, David, don't you know my good hand is already upon you? You say, wait a minute, not on me. God's good hand's upon you. You're topside. How many of you are breathing this morning? Everybody here? Everybody's breathing? God's good hand is upon you. God's given us life. He's given us health to whatever measure you have today. God's given us a place, and especially when we're here at Ambassador, God's good hand is greatly upon you to be in this place. You're looking ahead as to what will God do. God may have you as the king's cupbearer right now, but he's preparing you for something in the future. He's saying, I need you here like Esther for such a time as this, for a time that is going to come, a time when I'm going to need you to go into action, and right now you need to recognize God's good hand is upon you. We've got a word right here that is preserved for us. Isn't that God's good hand? We've got music that we can sing to our God. We can worship Him with. Isn't that God's good hand? We've got pastors to be able to lead our churches and to lead us as we come before God and to grow in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Isn't that God's good hand? God's good hand is upon us. Nehemiah looks at this, and as we look at chapter 2, we find that the king gives him all of that he had asked for, gives him passage to go over to Jerusalem, to go over and get all the materials. Can you believe God did that? That the enemy king would supply all the materials to rebuild the walls that were torn down so the enemy could come in. Nobody but God could do that. And so Nehemiah says, God gave everything according to the good hand upon him. Then I want you to notice in verse 17 of chapter 2, he's speaking to those that will go with him or are going to help rebuild his brethren. And he says, I said unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth in waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, let us build upon the wall of Jerusalem, let that we be no more a reproach. One of the things that I see in Nehemiah's life is that Nehemiah was honest about the condition of not only his heart, but of the nation. He looked at it and he didn't try to just pass over. You look around America today, and you can see the distress that we are in. You can see that even the church in many places has become a reproach. We have pastors who are getting into immorality. We have the walls being broken down within the church of the preservation of God's Word. Good Christian music, godly music, going out soul winning. You know, that's being attacked still. To go out and knock on a door and tell somebody, I want to share Jesus Christ with you, I want to share the gospel with you, is being scorned today. The walls are being broken down all around us, and Nehemiah was a man that looked and he saw it, and he didn't just pass over and say, well, that's just a pity that it's that way. Somebody ought to do something. He went before God and he said, God, I want to do something, and I want to influence other people to do something for God also. You're here preparing for a future and service for God. You're going to have influence. In fact, you are having influence on those around you today. I want to ask you, are you helping them to strengthen their hands for the work that God has of rebuilding the walls? We need Nehemiahs today in America. We need Nehemiahs that'll go out, and the Lord may give you a church that's already there but needs the walls that are rebuilt. God may have you go and establish a new work where you go out, but walls are going to have to be rebuilt. We need Nehemiahs that understand that God's good hand is upon them, and because of God's good hand being upon them, we have a work to do. Notice what he says in verse 18, and I love the testimony time because this is exactly what Nehemiah was doing as he spoke with those around him. In verse 18, he said, then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Isn't that a wonderful thing? We're supposed to go out and tell others that God, what God has done in our lives. We're to go out and tell of His good hand being upon us, of everything, where He's supplied for breaks, where He's supplied for our school bill, where He's supplied in our marriages, where He's supplied in our friendships, and in everything that God's given to us. God's good hand being upon us. And when we do that, when we tell of God's good hand being upon us, it has an influence on those around us, and it demands of them that they decide whether they want to see God's good hand upon them or if they're going to reject that. We need to be a people that go out and say, God is good to me. I want to ask you something. Has God been good to you today? Oh, our God's so good. Nehemiah says, I told him of the good hand of God which was upon me. Look at it, verse 18. As also the king's words that he had spoken unto me, and they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. I love it. They came together, if you would, to ambassador and strengthened their hands for this good work. They came together in their churches. They came together and they said, we need the Word of God in our life. We need to grow spiritually so that we are ready to go out and rebuild these walls. Now, here's the great warning and here's the heart of the message. When you decide to be a wall builder, when you decide to be a Nehemiah, there's going to be opposition. Every time. I want you to see the next verse, verse 19. But when Sanballat, the Hornite, and Tobiah, the servant of the Amorite, the Geshem, and Geshem, the Arabian, heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, what is this thing that ye will do? Will ye rebel against the king? I want you to know there's many things in that one little verse there. They came out and they started laughing. You know, it's not a fun thing to be laughed at. I mean, not when you're not trying to be funny. You like for people to laugh on cue. You tell a joke, it's really kind of annoying when they don't laugh. Thank you for laughing there. But, you know, when you're doing something serious, and you're trying to do something right, and especially when you're trying to please your God, and somebody's laughing at you. Somebody's pointing and saying, you go over there to Bible college? What are you doing with your life? Why are you wasting your life that way? Why aren't you out trying to find a vocation or a job somewhere where you can make money? Don't you know you'll never become a millionaire being a preacher? What's wrong with you? And they'll laugh. They come and they start with laughing at them, laughing to scorn, and then it turns to they despised us. They came in and they started to despise in the opposition. They started to come and to not only scorn and laugh, but I don't even want to be around you anymore. I can't stand to hear you talk about God anymore. They despised them and said, what is this thing that ye will do? You mean you think you're going to do something that's going to last? You mean you think that what you're pouring your life into has any eternal value at all? And then they just flat out lied. The last part of the verse says, will ye rebel against the king? That was a flat out lie. They had letters from the king giving them permission. They had the permission to be able to go out and do exactly what the king said they could do or were doing. They're going to laugh. They're going to scorn. They're going to despise. They're going to lie. But I want you to notice verse 20. What's the response that we should have? Then answered I to them and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore, we, his servants, will arise and build. But ye have no portion, nor right, no memorial in Jerusalem. He says, you know what? It doesn't matter if you laugh at us. It doesn't matter if you scorn. It doesn't matter if you despise us. It doesn't matter if you lie about us. We've got God's good hand upon us. And God's the one that's going to give us victory in this. He kept his eyes on Jesus Christ. He kept his eyes on God's good hand being upon him. Now I want you to take your Bibles and we're kind of doing, you ever see a deer out in the field? I really like seeing a deer out in the field, a big buck, when I have my gun with me. But I like seeing them go out across the field. We feed the deer at our place. We've got corn pans. And I take corn and I go out there and I'll dump it in the pan. I mean, a pile of it. But deer don't eat just in one place. They graze. They come through and they'll eat a little bit here. They'll go over to this clover patch. They'll eat a little bit over here. And then they'll get to that corn patch. And I thought, boy, they'll just stay there and clean it out. They don't. They just take a little bit and then they'll go on down this way. I find that many times the Word of God's that way. It's good for you. Just kind of graze through. You'll find a little bit here, a little bit there. God will give you a little bit. That's what we're doing this morning, all right? Look at it, Nehemiah chapter 4, verse number 1. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth. Wait a minute, we just changed from laughing and despising and scorning to he was wroth. This continued to grow. He says that he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. To be wroth, to have a contempt for, an attitude of, I'm better than you. You know, you're going to face that in ministry for God. You're going to have people that are going to come against you and they're going to look down their noses at you and they're going to say, you know, if I were in charge, if God had given me that ministry, if I were in your shoes, I would have done it this way. I would not have done what you've done. And they'll get wroth. The Bible says that they expressed a spirit here of contempt, indignation, and they mocked. They mocked and ridiculed. They came against. Look at verse 3. Verse 2, sorry. And he spake before his brethren, the army of Samaria, and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of rubbish which are burned? You know what the answer is to that? Oh, that's what our God delights in. He loves to take the ashes and to give beauty for it. He loves to come in and take a wrecked and ruined life and to make it something that is valuable for God. Our God's the only one that can do that. And so they're mocking. I like these little words, the feeble Jews. Will they fortify themselves? You're going to hear things like this. You're going to have those that will come against, and you know the old saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. The longer you go in life, you'll find that words hurt. And they'll dig deep. And you need to be careful that you be like a Nehemiah. Look at verse 3, and Tobiah the Ammonite was by him and said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. If a little tiny fox goes prancing across that wall, it's just going to crumble. That little church that you have down there in Taylor's, it's not worth anything. It's just this little thing on Easy Street. I tell you what, why are you wasting your life there? It's going to all crumble. Oh, no. I want you to note Nehemiah's response, verse 4. Hear, O God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity, and cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. And then notice verse 6. He went home and cried to the king and said, I tried, but it didn't work. He said, Brother Beal, I've been out of college for 4 years. I've been trying to see God do something and nothing's happened and people are mocking me. No. So, we built. Build we the wall. And all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. I like that. You and I need a mind to work. Just, Lord, I'm going to do whatever you've got for me to do today. It doesn't matter what it is. Because God, I've got your good hand upon me. God, if you're for me, if God be for us, who can be against us? And so Nehemiah said, you know, it doesn't matter what they say. It doesn't matter how they come against us. We are going to continue to build. We're going to continue to go out and restore the land. But the opposition continued. Look at verse 7. It came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up, and that the breaches began to be stopped, they were very wroth and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. I mean, they still haven't stopped. Notice how many times they continue to attack. And here's a great warning, and if you can get this down while you're just starting out, it'll help you in life to come here. The attacks aren't going to stop. You're going to find that there's going to be an attack of the devil and he's going to hit and you're going to depend upon God. You're going to go run into the scriptures. You're going to get on your face before God and you're just going to say, God, deliver me. God, I'm depending upon you. And God, I'm going to keep on going. And it's going to be a long, dark night that you're going to be praying and then the sun will come up and God delivers and you're going to say, Lord, I'm so thankful. I'm thankful for your good hand. I'm thankful for everything you've done. God, you are the God of victory. And God, I'm so thankful that I trusted in you. And as soon as you get done praying that, there's going to be another attack. And here's where many, many men fall out of the ministry. Because they say, wait a minute, I trusted God and I depended upon him. And yes, he gave victory, but now they're still attacking. Get used to it. It's going to keep happening. It's going to keep coming. Now, this may not be theologically correct. I don't know. So correct me later. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse number 1, tells us he's the lily of the... You're wrong. It's plural. Valleys. I found that. Now, this is just something the Lord gave me. We sing it. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the lily of the valleys. And you know what that tells me? There's going to be a battle. There's going to be a valley. And by the way, that's where God teaches us. And God's going to bring us out, and he's the lily of the valley. He's in that valley. Praise God. We come out of that valley. Lord, thank you. I'm back in another valley. Praise God. He's the lily of the valleys. We changed it in our hymnal. We wrote an S in there. And we sing it that way and we express it. He's the lily of the valleys, the bright and morning star. I like that. The attacks are going to continue to come. They're going to hit. They're going to continue to hit. We need to be people that continue to trust in God. They conspired. You know, it's one thing when one person's coming up and they're saying, I just don't get what you're doing. We can kind of write that off. But when there's a group coming now, there's a conspiracy, there's those who are coming in and they're teaming up against us. Notice what he says in verse 9. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. You know what you're going to have to do? You're going to see those attacks coming. You're going to have to fortify yourself in the Word of God. You're going to have to get down and you're going to have to study. I wish we had more time. You can get into Nehemiah and continue to study. You're going to find that Nehemiah was a man that made, he had good discernment. He made decisions, and he made decisions based on the Word of God. He knew the Word of God. That's how he was able to continue in the Word, in the ministry. That's how he was able to build himself up. David said that he encouraged himself in the Lord. He knew the Word of God, and he just kept repeating it to himself and saying, don't give up. And Nehemiah continued on. The adversaries continue to come. In fact, if you go over into chapter, or there in chapter 4, go down to verse 12, just for time's sake. And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times. I mean, they just continued to attack. And it's not going to stop. And so you need to make up your mind, I am going to just continue on for God. You may be here and you say, wait a minute, Pastor, I'm hearing this, and I get it. I'm going to have Sanballats and Tobias. They're going to come. They're going to hit. They're going to attack. And I can handle that. The problem is me. I've sinned. And the reason I'm in the mess I'm in, the reason I am discouraged, is because I've given up on God. I want you to remember men in the Bible like David. Oh, David failed God miserably. But David repented. He turned to God. And he said, oh, God, cleanse me. You remember Elijah? Elijah went out and did great things for God. You look at the ministry of Elijah. He's up there on Mount Carmel. Pray down fire. Don't we look at that and say, I want that ministry. I want that power. But then old Jezebel puts out a wanted poster. And he goes running. And he gets depressed and he gets discouraged. God gives him angels food. and he restores him. My point is this. You're going to have attacks. The majority of them, with the training that you're receiving, are going to come from the outside. You're going to have a lot of people that laugh. You're going to have a lot of people that scorn. You're going to have a lot of people who are going to ridicule you. You stay in the book and you stay on your knees. You study the life of Nehemiah, you'll find he was a man of prayer. He prayed, he prayed, he prayed, and he prayed. But you're also going to have times when you personally fail God. And that's when it really gets difficult. Because it's one thing to point over there and say, yeah, but they're not living for God, or they're not saved. But when you look in the mirror and you realize, I'm the one who failed. Oh, that's when you go running over to 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And I love this, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I want God's good hand upon me. I have God's good hand upon me. But here's something to think about. If I'm going to have God's good hand upon me, then that means I've got to have God's presence. Doesn't that make sense? If I'm going to have God's presence, then I must be holy. You say, wait a minute, I can't live perfect. God didn't call us to live perfect. He called us to be holy. That means that we go running to Him and allow Him to cleanse us. I like that song, He's Still Working on Me. He's still working on us. Let's allow Him to continue to work. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Verse number 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Amen. Father, I pray that You'd help us. Lord, we need Nehemiahs. I desire to be used like Nehemiah. Father, we see the destruction around us. We see the walls that are torn down. We see how they need to be rebuilt. And so, Father, we're coming before You and we're asking, would You help us to be able to rebuild them? But, Lord, we need You to continue to have Your good hand upon us. Help us not to be discouraged. Help us not to be weary in well-doing. And Father, there may be some here that are just ready. They felt this morning when they got up that this is it. We're not going to be able to keep going. This is the last thing. I've been ridiculed. I've had the last battle, and I'm not going to continue on. Lord, may this time be a time to come back to You and restore that wall of determination. I'm going to just keep living for God. Lord, whatever You want to do in our hearts this morning, I'd ask You to do it, Lord. Do it in a way that only You can. In Jesus' precious name, amen. With everyone standing at their feet,